Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Peter Busacca, author of How a Nursing Home Works, takes the reader through each department of a nursing home to show them the complexities of what goes on there to deliver quality care to the patient resident. Peter has been a licensed nursing home administrator since 2003. He has a Bachelor of Arts in the Natural Sciences and Mathematics, a Master of Business Administration, an Advanced Certificate in Health Administration, and is a licensed nursing home administrator in the state of New York. Peter has had experience with numerous nursing facilities as an administrator and a consultant and as the relative of a patient. He offers a comprehensive sketch of the intricate institution of a modern nursing home. How a Nursing Home Works was awarded the coveted recommended seal from the U.S. Review of Books. And author Peter Busacca is back with us on This Week in America. Peter, welcome back to the program. A pleasure to have you back with us.
Well, it's great to be with you once again.
It's
Do you want the good news or the bad news first?
Well, let's start. Give me a little bit of the good news, and then we'll switch into the bad news, because a lot has happened since you were here the last time, particularly the pandemic. So I'm interested in getting your input on that, the input that that has had the medical care and specifically nursing homes. But give us a little good information as we kick off the program.
Okay. The good news is Geraldo Rivera, who, you know, made his name about 40 years ago investigating Willowbrook, a mental institution in New York City. He has my book now. And so does Paulina Poroskova, who was a famous model in the 1990s, especially for Estee Lauder.
Oh, yes.
And the Rolling Stones management, a person who has worked with their management company for decades, that person has my book and actually needed it, because that person had been in a nursing home for a short period. So my book's been getting around, and some popular people have been accessing it for the quality information that it has. Otherwise, scientists have found why cranberry juice prevents urinary tract infections. Essentially, you can do this experiment at home. Please do. just take a white coffee cup, a ceramic coffee cup or a coffee mug, and pour some cranberry juice in it. And then you leave it for a while, and then you drink the cranberry juice out of the coffee cup or mug, and you'll see that there's a coating left. And it's that coating that prevents, that essentially coats your urinary tract when you drink it, and it prevents germs or bacteria like E. coli or Klebsiella pneumoniae from adhering to the urinary tract and eventually causing an infection. The scientists, and this is recent research, that the scientists have found there's a sugar in certain fruits, such as cranberries, which helps prevent the surface membrane of the bacteria from adhering to the urinary tract. And it's this sugar called mannose, which prevents that, prevents urinary tract infections. They've known about this a good 25, 30 years or more, but it's just recently the scientists were able to decode what's really going on.
It's fantastic.
Scientists are now using artificial intelligence to create new antibiotics. Clostridium difficile, or C. diff, which it is commonly called, it has been a very difficult infection of the intestines occurring in nursing home patients as well as hospital patients. And it's so difficult that it's been hard to treat, and it's very hard to get proper antibiotics to treat it. So they've gone to fecal transplantation. That's taking the feces healthy from a healthy person who doesn't have C. diff and transplanting it into the patient's intestines who has C. diff, a difficult case of one of that C. diff. And also, of course, they've been learning more about the microbiome, the germs or bacteria that live in your gut, which helps, which are, some are good and some are bad. The microbiomes, essentially, to promote that, you want to take probiotics such as from yogurt or kefir and other foods, and prebiotics, which is fiber, which is what microbiotics, I'm sorry, the probiotics live off of the fiber. And so to promote the good bacteria, you want them to outpopulate the bad bacteria, which can give you things like C. diff and other yes. maladies. And they found out that also a proper microbiome, a good microbiome in your guts, is important for your immune system. And they've just found out that there's a link to the brain. Having good microbiome has a link to the brain, believe it or not, through the neural system. So there's a lot of great research going on. And of course, for good health, you want to take a one-a-day vitamin or some other make. But I prefer one-a-day myself. During World War II, the U.S. military found out that they were getting all these men from all over the country, you know, joining the military, and they found out that the majority of them had bad nutrition. And the military said, you know, all these soldiers, sailors, Marines, Coast Guardmen, sailors, they have bad nutrition. We need something to bring up the quality of nutrition in our military men. And they said, we need a vitamin that take once a day. And, of course, that's where a one-a-day vitamin yes. came about.
That's amazing. We've heard about those for all these years, and you're saying they're still effective and we still should be taking them.
Yes, without a doubt. And especially for women, you know, who are in their menstrual the ages of their menstrual period, iron's very important, and other minerals such as magnesium and other minerals. So it's important to get all the minerals that your body needs for the daily biochemical processes in the human body.
With us back on the program is Peter Busacca. He's the author of How a Nursing Home Works. The book is available wherever books are sold. Direct you to pageturner.us in their bookstore. We'll have a link on our website that will take you there. Book available, of course, at Amazon, all of the usual places. Was with us in 2020, and as I mentioned, a lot has happened since then. We've talked about some of the medical advances. It's good news out there, and you'll get all this information on nursing homes. Talk about some of the celebrities that are looking into that now and probably thinking about the future for them and for family members. And the book is out there and will really lay it all out for you. A lot has happened. I mentioned the pandemic has occurred. Is there a crisis about to happen? Where do we stand with that? And what changes have you seen in nursing homes and in medical care in general since you were here the last time in 2020?
Yeah, the importance of my book, How a Nursing Home Works, is not only for people or loved ones who have family members in nursing homes or people who want to work in nursing homes or hospitals. It's also for assisted living, because assisted living is really nursing home light.
Yes.
and the difference between assisted living and a nursing home is the abilities of daily living. Can a person, number one, get out of bed by themselves? Can they mobilize themselves to the bathroom or escape a fire that's in the house? Can the person toilet themselves? Can they dress themselves? And more importantly, can they feed themselves? So it's those five abilities of daily living that, you know, the average healthy person doesn't think second about. But as you get older and maladies occur, your abilities of daily living start to go away. And if you have two or three or more of these abilities of daily living that you cannot perform, then you're ready for a nursing home. But of course, you have to be in the hospital for at least 3 days, and a doctor has to say that you need nursing home care. You really do. But if you're older and an older adult and you only have one or two abilities of daily living that you cannot perform, then you're most likely assisted living capable of being put into an assisted living. But of course, people prefer living in their house. And this brings us to healthcare professionals. And this is the bad news. The bad news in the post-COVID-19 world that we live in now, we are short 190,000 nurses. And we would need 10% more nursing schools to fill that gap.
Wow.
And schools want men. Well, why men? as opposed to women. I've seen this over the decades I've practiced, as I've worked in a hospital and a few nursing homes. You get a young girl out of high school. She goes to college and nursing school. She gets out. She's about 22 or 23 years old. She becomes a nurse. Usually the first year they have to do the medical surgical ward, which, you know, can get kind of eerie, and you see a lot of blood and guts and things. And sometimes after that, they go, oh, you know, I can't take this job, and they give up, or they continue on into perhaps other fields of nursing. A few years later, you know, they practice. And by the way, they're starting now right out of nursing school, making $95,000 a year.
Interesting. So, wow. Yes.
They're being well rewarded. And of course, you know, they have to be on top of their game. And you get this young lady out of nursing school. She's like 3, 4, 5 years out, and she finds a young man, and they get married. And then a year or two later, they have children. They've bought a house. And, you know, it's important to take care of a human being in the first 5 years of their lives. They need that care, motherly care.
Yes.
And parental care also from the father. It's very important for their development. But, you know, then, oh, I don't want to go back to being a nurse. I just want to stay home and be a mommy, you know. And you know, so there's a lot of this that goes on. And so nursing schools are trying to attract men because men make it a full-out career, you know, whether it's the second career. I know a policeman who became a nurse after he retired from the police force, and other professions. So nursing schools are trying to attract men because a man will, like, you know, do the school and just continue on in the career uninterrupted.
Yes.
As far as practicing being a nurse goes. Of course, when you have a lack of nurses, which is what's happening now, because a glut of nurses were baby boomers, and because of COVID, it pushed them to retire early because maybe they didn't want to get the vaccination, or maybe they go, oh, you know, I had to work 2-3 shifts, you know, 24 hours straight.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm tired. You know, I'm 58. I'm 60 years old. You know, I can't take this anymore. You know, I'm 62. I can now get Social Security. You know, I'm just going to retire early. So a lot of this has happened. When you have a lack of nurses, and the government is now saying, well, you know, if you have a lack of nurses, then you can only cover so many patients a day. So if you have a full house of 100 patients, then, and you're lacking a couple of nurses, we're not going to allow you to have readmissions from a hospital, or admissions at all, or readmissions, because you don't have enough nurses and nursing hours for the patient. So if you want quality care, you have to have enough nursing hours available to take care of a patient, or else bad things happen. And here's what can happen, and here's what does happen. You get more ER visits because there are accidents, because the patient wasn't being taken care of. There's increased falls, more ER visits, hip fractures, pneumonia, whether by bacteria or by the epiglottis failing. With an older person, the epiglottis is the flap that covers the trachea going down into the lungs so that fluid and food can go down the esophagus into the stomach. And of course, when you get older, you know, your muscles get weak. Sarcopenia is the weakness of the muscles. You get that, and you can get, especially in really old patients over the 85 years old, you can get the epiglottis fails, and they get, when they're drinking, fluids and food can go down into the lungs and giving them pneumonia, which you don't want. And then they go into the hospital, and that can be expensive, you know, and bills. I've heard bills of up to $40,000 for, you know, a few days stay with a elderly patient having pneumonia with, by bacteria or fluid it's going down the wrong pipe. And osteopenia or osteoporosis, as you get older, especially with women, they're not producing estrogen. The calcium's not going into the bone the way it used to. This is why vitamin K is important. Vitamin K2 is important. when you're older to push the calcium into the bone where it belongs and not linger in the arteries and veins, creating atherosclerosis or buildup of a plaque. So that's why taking vitamin K2 when you're in the osteoporotic years of womanhood is important. And of course, usually what goes with osteoporosis is the smaller bones first, like the thoracic spine vertebrae tend to collapse, and then the lumbar spine vertebrae collapse, which can be very painful, but your body eventually adjusts to it and you can get out of that pain. But then the hips, you could be walking and then all of a sudden your hip just falls apart.
Wow.
And then statistics show a year later, the other hip will fall apart and you need either nuts and bolts to put it back together or a hip replacement, a hemiarthroplasty if the cup of the joint is still good, or a total hip replacement if the cup of the joint isn't good. So, and this is why in the latter years of life, most of the Medicare dollars are spent in the last few years of a person's life. Hip fractures,
oh, yes.
Pneumonia.
Yes, hear that frequently.
And of course, when you have a lack of nurses, you can get medication errors. And there's the five rights of administering a medicine to a patient. You want the right patient, the right time of day, the right medicine, the right pharmaceutical. You want to make sure that it goes through the right route. Is it sublingual under the tongue? Is it swallowed? Does it go, in the nose or in the eye or rectal route for suppositories. and of course you want the right dose, you don't want to overdose. And of course, fentanyl is a narcotic overdose that our country is having a big problem with right now. We need more nurses. A lack of nurses decreases the quality of care. And so, I've been promoting my book to young people who are maybe they're in the field as like a CNA or a phlebotomist. And I've given away a couple of free books to people who, one was a medical technician who, that's sort of the first person when you go to the doctor. It used to be a nurse, but now it's a medical technician.
Oh, yes.
Take your blood pressure, take your history, and take your weight, and then maybe a nurse comes in and then the doctor comes in after that. So I gave a copy of my book to a medical technician that here it is 4 years later, that medical technician is now a physician assistant.
Moving up the ladder. That's great. Motivated by what you had in your book, obviously.
Right. And so, so I've been giving some free copies away here and there to people I meet who are sort of in the lower levels or the lower ladder of healthcare.
Yes.
And helping them come up to the up and go up the ladder of their career.
Well, this book is written for so many people, and we've got a couple minutes left in the program. If you're just joining us, Peter Busacca is our guest on the program. If you're spelling that, it's very simple, Busacca, Peter Busacca. The book is called How a Nursing Home Works. I'll add to that the healthcare apocalypse. I want to touch on that for a second because you're really looking ahead to see what the future holds for the medical profession, nursing home, long-term care, those types of areas. The book is available wherever books are sold. I'll send you to pageturner.us. We've got that link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Book, of course, at Amazon, all of the usual places. A couple minutes left, Peter, in the program. Time always goes by so quickly. I mentioned How Nursing Home Works / the Healthcare Apocalypse. Where do you see us going? There are so many, to the average person, warning signs out there on the horizon. What do we stand? Is apocalypse too strong a word?
No, because that's what's really starting to happen.
Oh, yeah.
190,000 nurses short today, and in 6 years, in 2030, we're going to be 120,000 doctors short. And it's partly due to doctors are making half of what they made 20 years ago. It's due to healthcare cuts. President Johnson back in 1965 created Medicare, a year later Medicaid, and he wanted to create the Great Society. Well, yeah, you want a great society of healthy people who are productive and pay taxes so the government can collect money. But by the late 70s, they saw that, the national budget, like 73-74% of our national budget is going to healthcare. And we have to, we have other things like roads and bridges to build and rebuild and a military, and, money has to go elsewhere. So we have to decrease. So the early 80s was the start of decreasing costs for the government to pay doctors, hospitals, nursing homes,
yes,
care. And so this is what's happened. Right now hospitals and nursing homes, they're spending a dollar, but for every dollar they spend, they're only getting reimbursed between 70-75% from Medicare and Medicaid. And then you have governors of various states playing their political games. Oh, I'm not up for re-election this year, so I'll cut back on Medicaid, and then the year that I run for office, I'll like allow a lot of Medicaid money out, so that I can get reelected and have all the unions, nurses unions, vote for me so I can get reelected. So there's this political game, and there are people, I've seen some studies, there are people theorizing that we should adjust our medical system to be less government influential. And before 1965 with Medicare and a year later Medicaid, either you had health insurance or you didn't. And if you didn't, then you were poor and, you would like spend all your money on a hospital visit and then you'd become poor, the President Johnson had a good idea, but it's cost us a lot of money. And if you notice, a lot of local hospitals are building bigger ERs or building an ER where if they didn't have one, and because that's where the money is. Our country has focused on emergency medicine because they want to get someone who's hurt, they want to get them back up and running as quickly as possible. So you put money into emergency medicine and not long-term medicine. Oh, long-term medicine, that's, they're retired people, they're going to die anyway is the attitude. And and this is even happening in Japan, who traditionally revered their elders. I've heard stories of nursing homes in Japan, just as bad, if not worse, than some of the bad ones in our country. So it's a sad situation, and the healthcare apocalypse is now.
Wow, that's a very insightful conversation and interview with Peter Busacca, who's back with us on the program. Peter, it is always a pleasure. Don't wait 4 years. We'll have to do this sooner. And it's so so much information that you give us. And the book is really a must read for everybody. It takes you through the nursing home process. The book is How a Nursing Home Works, The Healthcare Apocalypse. It's Peter Busacca, B-U-S-A-C-C-A. Peter, any new work coming out?
Well, my next book will probably be called The Healthcare Apocalypse.
Interesting.
And, we'll see. There's a lot of research being done on extending life. For example, I took a microbiology course. Even though I was a biology major, I never took microbiology because that was always saved for the nursing students. So when I was in college, so I took a microbiology course a year ago. I got an A, and I was glad I took it. I learned a lot. And there's a lot of good research going on. At the ends of the DNA molecule are the telomeres. And every time a DNA molecule replicates, the telomeres at the ends, think of sort of like a shoelace. You have the little coverings on the shoelace, the ends of the shoelace. So they get shorter every time it replicates. But they've discovered telomerase, which so you have a DNA molecule, it transcribes to a messenger RNA, which then translates to a protein. But if you add a telomerase, you can extend the telomeres on either end of the DNA molecule,
okay,
and increasing the ability of it to replicate many, many more times, and that cell can live a lot longer than the usual that we expect
yes.
it to.
You have so much information, you need to do another book and come back and talk about it here on the program. It is always a pleasure. Peter Busacca, B-U-S-A-C-C-A. Peter, a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us, sharing all that knowledge, knowledge we all need to know. And the book, once again, is How a Nursing Home Works. Thank you for being back with us.
Thank you.
It is always a pleasure, Peter Busacca. The book is How a Nursing Home Works. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.